Suter. The Chicago Cubs are playing their home opener at Wrigley Field today after beginning the season on a 9-game road trip, and then yesterday's home opener, which was snowed out. Yesterday, the Cubs placed all-star first baseman Anthony Rizzo on the 10-day disabled list with a back injury. The game's in the bottom of the fifth inning at Wrigley, and Pittsburgh leads the Cubs by a score of 5-2. St. Louis Blues forward Vladimir Tarasenko will have surgery tomorrow to repair a dislocated left shoulder that the Stars forward suffered in the final game of the regular season at Colorado last Saturday. And earlier today, he told KFNS how long he expects to be out.
Tomorrow surgery, we'll see how it goes. We have 6 months before season starts because we don't make a playoff, so I think it will be enough time to recover.
Usually dislocated shoulder surgery requires a 6-month rehabilitation, which would lead him to perhaps miss some training camp or even the start of the season. Tarasenko led the Blues in goals this past season with 33, the fourth straight season he's led the team in goals scored. From the all-new 590 The Fan KFNU Studios in Kirkwood, I'm Tim Woodburn. Coming up just around the corner, large morning show in the afternoon with Frank O'Pinion.
I know a lot about Sharp City.
And it's great.
Whether you're looking to fillet up a Dover sole or slice into your favorite cattleman's cut, the folks over at Bertarelli Cutlery know all the ins and outs about how to get your kitchen knives as sharp as the Dickens. Family owned and operated for over 50 years, Bertarelli Cutlery offers St. Louis's finest knife sharpening services, as well as having all the gadgets and gizmos for your kitchen needs. So head on down to Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill, visit them on Facebook or online at BertarelliCutlery.com.
Blue Chip was started by Scott and Pat Phillips with little more than a Volkswagen Beetle, a little bit of luck, and a whole lot of work. Since then, Blue Chip has grown into one of the nation's largest and most recognized pest control firms while still being the hometown St. Louis company. Now moving into our third generation, Blue Chip is just as focused with a commitment to training and professionalism that are unmatched in our industry. We are experts at what we do, which simply put is protecting your home, your business, and your family. Go to STLBugs.com to learn more.
A great moment in baseball presented by Byerly RV.
The year was 1990. Young right fielder played with the team for just 2 years. His fielding skills were exceptional. His passion for the game made him a clutch player. The game was on the line. Just put the ball into play, yelled the coach. As usual, he took the first pitch. Then the second. He cracked the third in the right center and it rolled. The batter sprinted around the bases. He crossed home plate at full speed. Ran through the crowd of cheering teammates. Jumped over the bench. And with watery eyes, a 9-year-old flew into his father's arms. Dad, Dad, a home run. My first home run.
For the rest of your life.
Byerly Trailer.
For the rest of your life.
Byerly Trailer.
Rediscover your family. Show them you care.
For the rest of your life. You gotta be there.
Byerly, just 15 minutes west of I-270 on I-44 in Eureka.
Oh. Hey, this is Tom from Salt and Smoke. Is Pauly Shore ever eaten at your restaurant?
No.
Oh, God, no. No.
Oh, okay. Well, has he ever eaten at your restaurant twice?
Excuse me.
This is so embarrassing. Salt and Smoke. Now featuring the Hamptons.
Hey, it's Denise from the Appliance Discounters here to tell you that our friends at Speed Queen have done it again. They are now offering an impeccable wash and dependability without a transmission. These heavy-duty washers are driven by a full-horsepower motor and tested to last up to 25 years in your home. Speed Queen is so confident with their washers that their warranties have been extended to 5 to 7 years, parts and labor. This coverage is worth $400 and it's free. New and improved Speed Queen laundry at the lowest price at any of our 6 showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step.
Places. Quiet on the set.
Life can be so sweet.
What? Places, quiet on the set.
That's what professional people do.
In the movie business.
Yeah.
Not so much in the radio business. Radio's not really professional.
Live mic. Live mic.
Mic's alive.
Not afraid. This rover.
Okay, let's not get goofy. We got nothing but good news here.
Crossed over. Yeah, that's the truth.
There's some good news, actually. How about this? 72 degrees tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now global warming finally pays off.
Everybody seems like they've been in a really bad mood just because of this cold. It's horrible. The cold has just been stupid. The winter won't let go.
The show has probably saved people's lives.
Yeah.
Because they say that lack of that sad, that condition, seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah.
When you don't get enough sun, causes depression. People jump off bridges and stuff. We've saved, who knows how many lives we saved the last month or so, 6 weeks with the crappy weather. Good afternoon, and welcome to the April 10th edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon, right here on 590 The Fan. The only station that had the guts to continue this show, and boy, are they rethinking that decision right about now. But hey, we're already in place now, and we're in our seventh month. We're 5 days into our seventh month, and it went pretty quickly. Let me introduce some people in the room here. Just a quick round of initial introductions. New master of the control board, sometimes, and then sometimes he's still like a student of the control board. His name is Trevor Limey Phillips. The accent is not fake; it's real. Limey, say hi to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Newsman, private investigator Tim Woodward. Tim, hi to everyone.
Hi to everyone.
Dan Strauss in the house, heir to the Levi Strauss fortune. Dan, hi to everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Later on, Bill Cleveland. Next hour, Dan Buffa. And after a while, when you've just about had enough of Dan Buffa, he'll go on his merry way. Till he does, he will talk about movies and tell you what to watch for and what to avoid. There's something on HBO tonight, and I have to remember because I didn't, before I left the house, I didn't record it. I want to make sure I record it. It's the documentary on Andre the Giant.
Oh, wow.
And I don't care anything about wrestling, but there are aspects of it that are fascinating to me. The whole fake, let's start there, aspect where there are still people, and I'm not kidding, who don't think it's fake.
Yep.
I feel kind of sorry for those people because they're obviously mentally challenged. If you don't think that stuff is staged and fake, what the heck is wrong with you? But it's still theater. It's still, it's entertaining. And there is an art to pretending to jump up in the air off a chair and down on a guy's chest. That's a special talent when you're not really doing it. You know, your foot touches his chest, but the noise is made with the other foot, and it sounds like you just crushed his ribs. But
and it's like a soap opera where the people get attached to the good guy. The good guy is going to win, and then the bad guy. But the bad guy comes in and wins once in a while.
Yeah. But what's so ridiculous about it is the people in charge, the people that orchestrate the matches and decide who's going to win who. It's all done based on the crowd's preferences, who they like, who they don't. Well, they don't like this guy, so let's let him lose. Or it's all laid out and mapped. I've talked to a couple of these wrestlers, and the blood is real, but it's really not real. It's right. Their blood, but they generate it themselves. They didn't get hurt by the other guy. They cut themselves, themselves bleed.
I will agree that, obviously wrestling is fake. Everybody knows that for a very long time. But one of the happiest moments...
Not everybody.
I apologize then. The majority of people should know that it is staged fighting, but still, a happy moment of my childhood was like two. One was seeing The Undertaker come out and everything get dark and his music come on and it's all ominous. And then the second is Stone Cold Steve Austin performing the Stone Cold Stunner on Vince McMahon after chugging a beer.
Now, I've met and interviewed, actually, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Whoa.
And
prove it.
Well, I'll prove it by telling you the following quick story. He told me off-air that most of these wrestlers, when they go from one venue to the other and they're doing back-to-back nightly shows, they used to be Monday Night Raw in a city I used to live in all the time. And these wrestlers would have the hotel have ice trucks bring bags of ice and have bags and bags of ice delivered up to all these guys' rooms so they could heal from the bruising went through on a nightly basis.
I'm sure.
So, I mean, yeah, the theater might be fake, but you can't fake falling 8 feet off of a top turnbuckle and a three-rib bruise, okay? That's not fake. That's real.
No, they don't get hurt. It's not that they don't get hurt. They get hurt, but they hurt themselves. I mean, they get hurt, but it's part of their intent to get hurt. They want to fall out of the ring, and they want to fall on the ropes, and they want to hit the mat. And yeah, I don't doubt that for a minute that they've got chiropractors and ice trucks and whatever. But if you have an IQ over 30, how can you not know it's fake? And how do you cheer for somebody when you know it's in vain? It's already been determined who's going to win. I don't get it, but it's a huge business. And to Limey's point about the smoke and the ominous doo-doo-doo.
Right.
Yeah, it's great theater. The pageantry is second only to world heavyweight boxing title championship, where here comes Mike Tyson or somebody. I mean, it's a big show, and it's a big, big business, but very few, I don't know, I take that back. I was going to say very few of these guys ever make it to the next level. That's not true. Look at The Rock. Look at
John Cena.
Cena, and look at the governor of Minnesota. What was his name?
Jesse Ventura.
Jesse Ventura, yeah.
Ventura, he made it as far as being a governor. Look at Hulk Hogan. I mean, all the stuff he did in movies and TV. So, yeah, they do break out of that sometime. Locally, wrestling ceased to be a really big deal when they stopped wrestling at the Chase. And I don't know, I can't remember. Limey, I know you probably don't know what that was. Tim, you know what that was? Wrestling at the Chase?
Hey, everybody, this is Larry Madison. Welcome down to Wrestling at the Chase. We got a great program for you.
He knows.
We got the Bulldog Bob Brown coming at you.
Oh,
we got
my goodness.
Dick the Bruiser coming at you.
And Pat,
and that was as fake
Pat
as it
O'Brien?
Gets.
Was it Pat O'Brien?
Mm-hmm. Remember Gorgeous George? There was a wrestler called
Gorgeous George.
Yeah,
Gorgeous George had long blonde hair like Jerry Lee Lewis in the early
days. There
was
Blackjack Lanza. Blackjack Lanza with his manager Bobby Heenan.
Wow.
There was a match in St. Charles at that place called Dan off of 5th Street and 7th, the Stegden Inn or something.
It used to be the Three Flags restaurant.
Yeah. So there was a match, and I got asked to go at the beginning of the show and just welcome everybody and introduce whoever was going to be wrestling that night. And I was reluctant to do it, but they paid cash, so I did it. And I got to go backstage, and it was weird. It was creepy. There was a lot of oil being rubbed on guys by other guys. They were rubbing each other down with this oil, and then they got the little Speedos, and I don't know. It was. I'm sure there were piles of steroid and injections in the lockers that I couldn't see. It was just kind of a creepy thing. But they were really nice. Oh, they were very nice. Well, I couldn't help it. No, they were extremely nice. They weren't
Yeah, you do this our way, we'll kick your ass. It wasn't that way at all.
This is a very, very odd fact about this story, but weren't you paid in cash for that event, but somebody who used to work somewhere else stole it?
Yes, you remember that story.
Yeah, I remember that story.
The guy who was a part-time receptionist stole the money they paid me when they delivered it. He stole it.
Oh.
And it was strange because, and I'll tell you the amount, it was a long time ago. It was $500, but my job lasted 5 minutes. 5 minutes. They said, just come by, walk out, welcome everybody, blah, blah, blah. $500 cash. I said, oh, okay. So they said, we'll pay you that night from the take at the door. And so when I was finished, I'm ready to leave. I said, so who do I see for the money? And whoever this guy was, and I don't know if they go to school to learn how to talk like that or what, but he had that dressed. He said, Frank, he says, I just found out we're not going to be able to pay it till we account for all the revenue and the ticket. I'll get the money over to the station. And I thought, right. But what are you going to do?
Right.
This guy's biceps are as big around as my waist. What am I going to do? And go, hey, you lying wrestler. I just said, okay. And I left. And 2 weeks go by. I haven't seen a dollar. So I called the guy. And I don't remember, again, I don't remember his name, Rocco, or whatever his name was. And I says, Frank, hey, hey, Frank, thanks again. It was a great job you did out there a couple weeks ago for us. I said, well, I'm glad you thought it was a great job. Was it good enough that I should be paid, do you think? He said, yeah, I sent the money over just like I said I would the next day. And I said, really? I haven't seen the dollar. It was in an envelope, cash, just like we agreed, an envelope. I said, where did you take it? He said, I gave it to a skinny kid at the front desk. I said, what time of day was it? And when he told me, I knew exactly who he was talking about. And this kid got busted, by the way, for stealing VCRs and a couple of typewriters and all about the same time. And I knew that, because when you hand somebody an envelope, it's pretty obvious sometimes if there's a stack of cash in it.
Right.
You can feel it. And he realized what it was. And the guy walks in and goes, yeah, give this to Frank. It almost seems like some kind of a back alley. So he knew. And he just took it. He just took it. So I never saw it. So I remember when I told him, I said, I haven't seen any of the money. I remember when he said this to me. He says, so will you call me a liar? I said, oh, no. Oh, no, Rocco. I would never do that. Let me see if I can figure out what happened. And I called him back and told him what happened. I said, I know what happened. The kid took it. It's gone. And he kept his word. They were honorable and nice and not what I expected at all, in a good way. So that was my only brief encounter. Now, we did have over the years, we had... he wasn't really a wrestler. I always keep thinking he's a wrestler. The guy with the steel teeth.
He was in the James Bond movies?
Yeah, that guy.
Jaws.
The guy that played...
Jaws.
Didn't he play Lurch?
No. I don't think... He wasn't Lurch. I think people confused him with Lurch. I don't think he was Lurch, but he was Jaws, you're right. And he wasn't a wrestler, but I always think of him as a wrestler. And I think we had Andre the Giant in the studio. I'm telling you.
We
I
had Ric Flair.
Positive we did.
At the old place. Ric Flair was great.
Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, was that his name?
Yeah.
Richard Keel was his name, Frank.
Yeah,
Richard Keel, yeah, Jaws.
Right.
And I forget which guy came in and told us. He said, he said, when you see blood, that's our blood, that's real blood. Now, on the air, I don't want to say, yeah, the blood's real, but you guys are fake. Even though everybody knows it, it's sort of a weird thing. It's an unspoken, an unwritten rule. You don't ever say that it's fake in front of these guys, so everybody knows it. And I say, well, yeah, real blood, like real chicken blood? No, it's our blood. And he proceeds to show me how he makes his head bleed. And he had in his pocket some, they're like brass knuckles, but they had, it was a specially made ring, and it had little tiny shards of like razor blades in it. So when he would reach up, like grab his head, like somebody hit him, what he's really doing is cutting his forehead. Because on the inside of the ring, the palm side of his hand, were two or three of these little tiny jagged corners of razor blades built into this ring. So when he would slap his forehead, he'd cut his forehead, and blood would drip down his forehead. He said, Yeah, the forehead bleeds a lot. There's a lot of blood there, so the skin is thin. And he just did it right down his studio. Whack! And blood trickles down his forehead. You got any paper towels or something? And we wiped it up, and I thought, wow, they really thought all this through. And his head, when you looked at his head, it looked like, because he'd done it so many times, that 100 kids had played tic-tac-toe on his forehead over a period of a couple of years. It was just X, just etchings out of his forehead where he'd cut the skin so many times. He had sort of a checkered forehead. So, yeah, I don't know what anything else about... Who do you think probably is the most successful wrestler? It would have to be Hulk Hogan, right?
It has to be. I would say, yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, The Rock is pretty famous, but he's been acting for a long time. Like, Hulk Hogan is still famous for his Hulk Hogan, like, ripping the shirt off, all American.
And I
got
to tell
hero.
You something, he's pretty old. He still looks to me like he could, tear
pretty
your
good
head
shape.
Off.
Yeah.
Whoa, yeah.
Frank.
Whoa.
And then didn't he get a great big fat check for nailing that Bubba the Love Sponge's wife or something? And the guy videoed it. No, he videotaped it without Hogan's knowledge and went to court. And
he did.
And Hogan put the guy out of business. It got Gawkers? Wasn't that
according,
the yeah.
According to the website I'm looking at, Hogan's actually only the seventh highest paid wrestler of all time.
Wow.
$25 million
in his career. No, I'm talking about highest rate paid wrestler. I'm talking about overall most successful person who was a professional wrestler in terms of just name recognition and everything else he's done. I think it's got to be Hogan.
Whoa, who's the highest paid?
The Rock. Dwayne Johnson made $190 million as a wrestler.
Oh, really?
Good. Which is three times more than John Cena, who ranks third. So, I mean, The Rock was way more
who's
popular.
Who's the second?
Well, Vince McMahon's the number one all-time compensated person associated with wrestling. He made over $1 billion, according to
wrestling.
But that's unbelievable. Now,
I'm going to mention a guy who's in the news, was in the news this past week, and I can't stand this guy, and it's Conor McGregor, the Ultimate Fighting guy. I can't stand the guy. The guy is a loudmouth, foul, filthy-mouthed, ignorant... everything about him I can't stand, and I'm glad he lost when he went up against who was it? They had a boxing
Mayweather.
Yeah, Mayweather won that, and I was so glad he did. But if you remember, even as the loser, do you remember what McGregor made from that fight?
Wasn't it something stupid like $400 million?
It wasn't that stupid. No. It was $100 million.
Whoa! Yeah.
But even $100 million. Think about this: $100 million. For one fight, to lose, he was a loser. But all the pre-fight stuff, the difference between now and the Ali days, when they'd have the weigh-ins and the press conferences,
and Don King would be there, and
how would Coach Sell would be, and it was all sort of what you would call good, clean fun compared to what I saw with McGregor and Mayweather. It was the filthiest, you MFNC suck. I just thought, really, come on, what is this? It was just base, low life, guttural. It's not the same.
He's an Irish hooligan.
Yeah. He is a hooligan, and Clay was a braggart and boasted, but you know what? People loved it. I'm the greatest five all time. Whoop son, listen, whoop Joe Frazier. I whoop anybody. I whoop Dan Strauss. Whoop that Tim. Whoop, I can whoop him. And everybody liked it, but there was no, think about it, there was no foul language. Of course, there weren't the outlets we have now, social media, the non-FCC-controlled cable and satellite stations, so it was all FCC-controlled, but still, it was just a...
There's a word we're missing here, though, Frank. The word we're missing to describe Conor McGregor is genius.
Well, that too, and scrappy, and tough.
For him to be able to market and promote that fight to the level that it was the highest grossing fight ever watched on pay-per-view ever.
And I don't know how much of that was him or how much were genius promoters who did it for him. I don't know. But yeah, and Ultimate Fighting, to me, and maybe I'm wrong because the millennial crowd, maybe it's a bigger deal than boxing ever was. To me, it's still not up there where the Friday night fights used to be, sponsored by Gillette, when Joe Frazier was fighting, Ali was fighting, Sonny Liston was fighting.
Well, the problem with UFC fighters is that there hasn't been anybody come along like you see in boxing over the course of time, like Rocky Marciano and Mayweather and these guys who've never been beaten. Even the best UFC fighters that are out there today, they've all been beaten like three or four or five times at some point in their career. You haven't seen this one ultimate behemoth UFC fighter that's come along who's never been beaten.
The other question is, has UFC produced anybody with any kind of real charisma who could become a Rock or a Hogan?
Yeah, a female. Ronda Rousey was the one that you could say was an undefeated, undefeated champion who thought that you thought she was unbeatable, and then she went down. But that's like the only one that
lost
came along.
Lost to Holly Holmes.
That's the only one that's come along that had never lost in a huge fight. Everybody else has always had one blemish or more on their record.
Yeah, it's true.
My last comment about any of this is I think it's stupid. I think boxing is stupid. I think Ultimate Fighting is stupid. I don't get the appeal of beating somebody's brains out or having yours beaten out. I just don't get it. I get most other sports, but I don't understand that. I know that there was a time when you would settle an argument in school, and old-timers will know what I'm talking about. The teacher or the principal would actually let you go outside and duke it out. They even had gloves at some schools. They go, I put the gloves on, go in the gym, and work this out. that'll never happen now. You're never going to see that.
Right.
I get that sort of, but then I really don't even get that. Well, okay, you guys can't seem to agree. Let's go down to the gym and let one of you knock the other one's brains out. There's got to be other ways to teach
better sports. A part of society, hasn't it? I mean, you go all the way back to the ancient times, they had gladiators. We've just always liked blood sports, people fighting and attacking each other, I guess, or watching
boxing
something
is,
like that.
Was always huge in the Navy, in the military.
It's
overall,
still huge in England. Huge.
Yeah. Think about it, Frank. Think of what Limey just said, though. The days of gladiators fighting to the death. Can you imagine taking what we've just talked about a step further and having an actual pay-per-view fight with two guys getting into a cage and they fight to the death?
Whew. Well, some of the stuff I've seen, I've watched some of those UFC highlights, they weren't far from being
killed. Man, I'll tell you what.
pretty hard. When they get kicked in the face, holy cow.
Who wouldn't buy
and they're
that?
Just lying there, and you go, is that guy dead? Oh, I'd buy it, and I'll admit that I'd buy it. I'd pay for that. Yeah.
Everybody would.
I would pay knowing at the end of this match, one of these guys is going to be on the mat dead. I would.
Man.
No, I'm just being honest. I don't think it's right. I don't want to be in it. I don't want any of my kids in it, but yeah, of course I'd watch that. It's like,
would you watch an execution? Say they put someone in the electric chair.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
The answer is yes, because in that case, I'm hoping the person in the chair, one, deserved to be there. Let's start there. And let's say there's no question. It's a child rapist who bragged about it. And then killed the child and then took the police to the grave. All right, there's no doubt this guy did it. I would delight in sitting with a box of popcorn watching that guy's head explode and catch on fire. No, you would. This may sound weird. I would sleep like a baby after watching somebody who is a really horrible, horrible person have their head explode or be shot by a firing squad or put in the electric chair. And I know there are people that go, well, Frank, it's a human life. How could you say that? No, not really. Not really even human. Those people aren't to me human. They're evil monsters. And they destroy people's lives and they hurt people and kill them. Just kill them. And I could watch that, absolutely. I could go watch one of the lethal injections. I could do that. Again, as long as I am absolutely convinced the person, without even a micro whatever of doubt, was guilty. And what I mean by that, again, is that guy that brags about it. You know, there was a case in St. Louis, I mean decades ago, and I got a chance to have lunch with an FBI agent who worked this case. And it was two scumbags who went into the house of a bank president. It was a small town bank outside St. Louis, a little bitty town. So small, the guy closed the bank and went home for lunch. But these losers had been watching this guy, and they knew where he lived. They knew the bank. They knew his hours. They followed him home for lunch. And it's a true story, and the agent told me this at lunch, and it made me sick to my stomach. They went in the house and put a gun to his head, a gun to his wife and daughter's heads. One guy stayed at the house. The other guy went with the bank president to the bank, and he said, you're going to go with me back to the bank. We're going to clean it out. If you hit a button, try to call the police, in any way call attention to what's going on, my partner here, back here at your house, will kill your wife and daughter. So the president of the bank goes with him and complies, wipes the vault out. They go back to the house, and one of the guys, and this was all in the trial, and this agent was at the trial, and he said, it's the only time in my career when I actually had to force myself not to just jump up and kill him right there at the trial, because he didn't deserve to live, either one of these guys. And what happened was, when they got back to the house with the guy who was the bank president and his money, he essentially said, hey, that part where we said if you comply, we'll let you all go, we were just kidding. Get in the van. And they put them all in the van, took them out in the woods, wherever this was, way outside St. Louis, and tied all three of them nude to tree trunks, facing the trunk, with their arms wrapped around the tree trunks. They proceeded to rape and torture the wife and daughter while the dad had to, as he's tied up too, watch them. Okay? Think about this torture. And then he kills, they slowly murder the wife and daughter, making the dad watch it, and then after all that horrible stuff, they kill him. In the trial, as they're getting ready to sentence these pieces of crap, they ask the one guy, if you had this to do over, is there anything you would have done differently? Looking for any remorse, looking for... And the agent said that what the guy said was, yes, there is. If I could go back and do this over, I would have drawn the torture out longer. We didn't torture them as long as I'd like to have. We killed them too soon. I enjoyed looking at his face. Well, right then is when you go, okay, put him to death. There's no question. This guy not only did it, he's bragging about it. He's laughing. He's proud of it. Yeah, I'd go watch that guy killed. And I don't think that makes me a bad person at all. I think it just makes me a person who wants to see real justice done. And I'm a guy that believes that we're just way too easy. This crap about they think somebody looked like they might have been uncomfortable while they were getting the lethal injection. What? So what? So what? Look what they did. So they squirmed a little. Ooh, who cares? All right, enough of that, because that makes people uncomfortable, and I can see why. Does any... Oh, you know what? Look at that time. I'll break for traffic quickly. I'm going to break and do some business. We'll do some traffic. We'll come back. We'll see if we have any Burke segment, and we'll go from there. We do have some pleasant, fun things to talk about. Johnny Londoff had a wonderful conversation with John Londoff this morning, and business is good as it has been. I'd like to think as it has been ever since he made the decision to be part of the show, and that was about 13 and a half years ago. I can't even believe it's been that long. Now, the business obviously had done okay from 1960 up until 13 and a half years ago, and they probably would be fine without us. But I'd like to think, and I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, so they wouldn't still be on board, that the difference the AM and the PM crowd has made in their business has been more than just noticeable. So thank you for that. And for whatever reason, sometimes advertisers have a real tough time knowing what's working. You know, what are we spending our money on that's really, is the return really there? Is it really working? In the case of our advertisers, they know, because you folks say proudly, by the way, I'm here because I'm AM and the PM. And that is, I could do a whole show one day explaining to all of you why that is so important. You know, when you hear somebody on any radio or TV station, let's just stick with radio, you hear somebody say, be sure to tell them Jim sent you. Or go in and mention some code and get an extra 10% off. They're not doing that to reward you. They're doing it to track the business so that they can know where it came from. Because if they don't know that you're going into Johnny Londoff because you're AM and the PM, you're just another customer coming in, and they're glad to have you there, but we want them to know how you ended up there. Because if they don't know that and they can't track that somehow, they're going to leave this show. And they leave this show and a couple other people leave, then the show itself has to leave. We're gone. So continue to do that as you have done it. We appreciate it. Business is good. I got a feeling it's going to really be good here in the next day or two, because when weather breaks and people break out of that cabin fever, whoo, they tend to go nuts in a good way. And one of the things that I always found was that in the spring, of course, you can't go by me because every day of every week is a good day to go car shopping for me. But it's, I don't know, it's something extra special about it because the worst of the weather is over. There's something about a new car in great weather, spring weather, hit the road. It doesn't have to be a convertible or even brand new. It can be pre-owned. It's just something about spring that's great. And you can make it even greater by rewarding yourself with a new vehicle. Even again, if your new vehicle is pre-owned, if there's something you're looking for, and it doesn't have to be a Chevy, if it's pre-owned, they don't have it, and they probably will, but if they don't, they'll find it for you. Johnny Londoff, Chevrolet. please never forget what they have done and still do for this show. And if you appreciate it, because the show is free, no subscription to this thing, it's paid for by folks like Johnny Londoff. So make sure they know who you are and where you came from. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County, 24/7 at Londoff.com.
Get a check on traffic with Tory Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Texas de Brazil. A solid construction jam northbound 255 at Illinois 157, eastbound 64 jams 20th to the Poplar Street Bridge, westbound 64. You're already backing up at Hampton and picking up volume eastbound 270 at 170. Texas de Brazil, now open in St. Louis Galleria. Dine on endless selections of flame-grilled beef, lamb, pork, chicken, and sausage with a gourmet salad area. TexasDeBrazil.com. Reserve your Brazilian dining experience. I'm Tory Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
I know a lot about Sharp City.
And it's great.
Whether you're looking to fillet up a Dover sole or slice into your favorite cattleman's cut, the folks over at Bertarelli Cutlery know all the ins and outs about how to get your kitchen knives as sharp as the dickens. Family owned and operated for over 50 years, Bertarelli Cutlery offers St. Louis's finest knife sharpening services, as well as having all the gadgets and gizmos for your kitchen needs. So head on down to Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill, visit them on Facebook or online at BertarelliCutlery.com.
Blue Chip was started by Scott and Pat Phillips with little more than a Volkswagen Beetle, a little bit of luck, and a whole lot of work. Since then, Blue Chip has grown into one of the nation's largest and most recognized pest control firms while still being the hometown St. Louis company. Now moving into our third generation, Blue Chip is just as focused with a commitment to training and professionalism that are unmatched in our industry. We are experts at what we do, which simply put is protecting your home, your business, and your family. Go to STLBugs.com to learn more.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Hey, it's Denise from the Appliance Discounters here to tell you that our friends at Speed Queen have done it again. They are now offering an impeccable wash and dependability without a transmission. These heavy-duty washers are driven by a full-horsepower motor and tested to last up to 25 years in your home. Speed Queen is so confident with their washers that their warranties have been extended to 5 to 7 years, parts and labor. This coverage is worth $400 and it's free. New and improved Speed Queen laundry at the lowest price at any of our 6 showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Oh, hey, this is Tom from Salt and Smoke. Has Pauly Shore ever eaten at your restaurant?
No.
No.
No. Ew.
No. Oh, God, no. No.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, has he ever eaten at your restaurant twice?
Excuse me.
It's so embarrassing. Salt and Smoke. Now featuring the Hamptons.
Should I go?
Well done, Dan.
Well, Dan, if you're asking us, see ya. That was mean. That was kind of mean. Yeah. Before we get to the Burke segment, if there is a Burke segment, I want to mention something I failed to mention yesterday. We spoke first hour yesterday with Teresa Puckett. She's the widow of Rick Puckett. Rick was co-owner of Peroni's Pizza. And one of the things I wanted to do and I forgot to do, and this is something she told me Saturday. Rick passed away Friday. And Saturday she told me something on the phone that it's one of those things that you go, wow, I didn't even think companies like that existed anymore. But they do. Teresa works. She's not really that active with the pizza business. That's her husband and their partner, Jay. She actually has a job, and she proceeds to tell me that her employer reached out to her and said, look, we want you to have 6 months off. Just 6 months to just kind of mourn and recover and whatever. And I said, why? And making it known that everything will be fine. And when you're ready to come back after 6 months, you know, we'll take care of everything and it'll be here when you get back and on and on. And I said, you must have been with them a long time. And she said, 5 weeks.
5 weeks?
Now listen to this.
Wow.
This is one special company, and I want to mention them by name. It's Milestone Equipment Leasing in St. Charles. And the reason I want to do that is, you know, every year they come out with this list of the 10 best companies to work for, and that's a bunch of crap, because it's based on, there's a formula, it's all kinds of stuff. But when a company does something like this for an employee, it's only been there 5 weeks. Obviously, they really like her, and she loves working there. And I thought I misunderstood her. I said, did you say 5 weeks? She said, yeah, I've only been there 5 weeks. 6 months. And I don't know if she'll need it all. She doesn't know, but the offer was made. Wow. And I just think that's
incredible.
That's so unusual, because in the radio business, look, there are people in the radio business afraid to take a vacation that when they come back, the locks would be changed. Because while they were gone, we had a guy filling in for you, and the audience really liked him, so you're fired. He actually was better on the show than you are.
We're going in a different direction.
Yeah, so to Milestone Equipment Leasing in St. Charles, good for you. I don't know anything about what you do. I don't know what kind of equipment you lease. Don't know how big you are. I think it's just a local company, I'm pretty sure. But what a wonderful thing to do, and it's good to know that there are still companies to do things like that. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right, this would be Limey Phillips. It's all yours.
All right, well, it's not a very long one, but it's something
you're
very proud of. Hey, that was a joke there.
What? Well, you're welcome.
It's not a very long one.
Yeah, it's not a very long one, but it's something I'm proud of.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Frank. I have actually been trying to cut down on smoking cigarettes for these past couple of weeks, and...
Why? Why would you want to do that?
Because, you know, I'd like to live longer.
Come on, man. Smoking's cool.
That's right. All the cool kids are doing it.
Thank you,
Smoking's
Frank.
Smoking's cool, dude.
Well, I've had one pack of cigarettes now that it's lasted me 4 days.
Whoa!
Thank you.
So, the bad news is one pack used to last him 8 days. He's smoking more. Well, that's not. I know anything about smoking, but that's not bad.
That's good.
How many? Yeah. How many are in a pack? 20?
What's 20 are in a pack?
20
are in a pack.
That's 5 cigarettes a day.
I know. I'm quite pleased with myself. Normally, it was just under a pack a day. So, I've got one of these little vape things that's pretty cool. I like it. Don't really like so much the taste of cigarettes anymore, so I'm happy. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I can actually just quit smoking.
All right, so you got 5 cigarettes for the day. What time of day do you smoke those 5?
Normally, I'll smoke one when I wake up and I go walk my dog. I'll have one around lunchtime as I drive here. Then maybe one after dinner and possibly one before bed. But today,
I get the after dinner thing because as an occasional cigar smoker, a cigar tastes the very best after a meal.
Mm-hmm.
No breeze because you want to smoke to curl up. I get that, but I don't get the first thing in the morning because your mouth is kind of anyway. It's already dry,
right?
So why would you add to that?
That's just, you know, that's just something you'll only understand if you're a cigarette smoker, is just you wake up, you do your chores or whatever it is, you have your morning ritual, and you light up a morning cigarette. Dan, how long before, like, after you've woken up, how long before you smoke a cigarette?
Oh, maybe a half hour.
He doesn't
hour,
wait till
right.
he wakes up.
Yeah.
He smokes it while he sleeps.
Yeah. I dream smoke.
Let me ask both of you this. I know that you've had sexual intercourse because you were married at one time. You wouldn't have it now because you're not married. That would be a sin.
Of course.
This thing, when I see a scene in a movie or a TV show, especially older ones, and a couple just finished getting it on, and then they both reach over to the nightstand and they light up cigarettes in bed. Is that true that it's good, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting?
It's like take that cigar you have after dinner and how much you enjoy it and everything.
Right.
and then add like five times to that.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Really?
For some reason.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea.
You know, the next
I get the food thing. I get the food thing because it still has to do with taste. Yeah. And then right after food, you have a. But the sex.
It's just great. It just really is great. The next time you have sex, light up a cigarette or a cigar. You know, that would be my advice.
Well, he won't be able to do that for another 7 years.
Yeah, you beat me to it. I was gonna come back with some. Well, that's a year away, but you made it 7. So, I hope by the time that happens, I can remember what you just told me. I have to put that log that in a journal or something so I don't forget it. So good for you. You should quit it all together because when we break, like for commercials, you and Dan, off you go outside, have a cigarette. Maybe they'll put Dan. What are you at anywhere even close to doing what Limey's doing? Maybe finally giving that up.
I do have a vapor cigarette, and
but that's not. You've had it for a long time. I know that, and you still smoke, so it's not working as a way to quit. Do it as an alternative way to keep smoking.
Yeah, basically I do. But Limey, I have cut down though.
Okay, good for you. Anything else, Limey?
That's all I got.
Anybody else, Burke Segment? No?
I have twice. Something, but it's a news story. It hasn't really affected, it didn't affect me or anything, but it's...
Well, we'll close the Burke Segment, and you can do it anyway.
How's okay. That?
Burke Segment is officially closed. All right, what do you have?
It's like a stupid criminal. It's a lady in Florida. I can't remember what part of Florida she was in, but the police ended up pulling her over, and they found cocaine in her purse. Ooh. She blamed.
I know this story.
You do? Blamed high winds for blowing the cocaine in her car and into her purse. She told police she has no idea how it got there.
The only reason I didn't mention that story is because it's so stupid.
I know.
It didn't even to me. I don't know.
You see cops and you see all these other like police shows. And they will pull all of this stuff out of these people's pockets. I have no idea.
Not mine.
I don't know how they got. I don't know how that got there. Wait, these aren't my pants. These are.
Well, no. You're not exaggerating. There's a cops episode where they go in the guy's pockets and they go, "I thought you said you didn't have anything in your pants." And the guy goes, "Hey, dude, those aren't my pants." And the cop says, "Wait a minute, you're wearing somebody else's pants?"
Yeah. I had no idea that was in them.
And they ask him, "Well, whose pants are they?" "I don't know. I was wasted. I just grabbed a pair." Oh, and they just happened to fit, you know, whoever. The best cops episode, and they've rerun it several times. The best one is the guy they pulled over, and their question. By the way, one of my favorite shows ever. I just would like to see it unedited and uncensored. The one I want to see. Is the guy that they continue to question him about marijuana. "Do you smoke it?" "No." "You're sure?" "Yeah." Have you had any marijuana in the last couple?" "No." And while they're talking to him, there's a joint behind his ear. Honest to goodness, he's got one stuck behind his ear the whole time. And then the cop deliberately wants to keep the questioning going. And finally, the cop just reaches up and goes, "Hey, what's this?" And again, the guy goes, "Oh man, I don't know, man. I don't know. How'd that get up there?" it's so stupid. It's hilarious. It really is. If you want to know, unfortunately, what a big chunk of America is like, watch Cops.
Yep.
These aren't just random. This is not just a 20 or 30 people in the country. There are thousands and thousands of people like this, with this mentality, who live like this. Yeah, I love Cops. Again, my only. There ought to be two versions. There ought to be the network TV version and the cable version on another channel where the same footage was not messed with or touched or edited or censored. I want to see that. Anything else? No?
Nope.
I'll do a bit of business. And then Dan Buffa is actually in the green room. I saw him go in there. He's having a little bit of a trim and. I didn't realize this, but in the 590 green room, you can request a pubic hair trim. Did you know that? Yeah.
Pubic hair trim. Well, I mean, yes, I am grooming, on the dating grooming. Scene again.
Well, it's free. It's part of 590. It's part of the package, man. Go in there and take advantage of it in the green room.
Part of the package.
I don't know if you have to... I don't know if you have to be a guest or if you do it working here, but go find out. Her name is Claudia, and apparently she's the one that does that. So Dan Buff is in there now. The door is closed. I don't know if he's having that done or what. It's his business. I have just enough time to talk about Ballast Dental Care, and then he'll be in here to talk about movies. I have now hit the month that marks the beginning of my 46th year as a patient at Ballast. I hit the 45-year mark this month, the month of April. Don't know the exact date, but I know that when we get into May, I will be well into my 46th year. Ballast Dental Care is a dental clinic. My dentist has always been the same over the years, Dr. Obi-Wan Kenobi Watanabe, but there are a couple other great dentists there, Dr. Olivier, Dr. Haynes. You're in capable hands with them as well, because he's not about to have anybody else in there do it any other way than the way he does it, and that's the way that has kept so many people as loyal patients all these years and has caused their families to go there and their friends and their neighbors, because once people hear that there really is a place where you don't have to be nervous, you don't have to be scared, you don't have to dread an appointment ever again. You're not going to be canceling appointments all the time because you're so freaked out. Where's that walk-up music, Limey? Remember that walk-up music?